messenger. And I thought, that's it. And the Lord said, okay, that's the one I want you to work with. And when I finished, it was only 19 pages long. So y'all don't mind getting out, since I can't see the clock at 1 o'clock or 1:30 or something like that, you know. When I got it together, I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll divide this in half. And so this morning I'm going to do part one. I will eventually get to do part two. But this morning we're looking at don't shoot the messenger. And really the first part of it this morning, we're looking at two types of messengers, faithful and wicked. Let's open with prayer and we'll get started. Dear Lord, we do thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather together in your house, Lord. And we just ask that you would help us this morning as we look into your word. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In Proverbs, there are two kinds of messengers for us to consider. There is the faithful messenger and the wicked messenger. Not my words, these are God's words. He calls them a faithful messenger and a wicked messenger. And really the question we want to look at this morning is, which messenger are you? Are you faithful or would you be classified as a wicked messenger? So let's look at the definitions that God gives us first for the faithful messenger. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. And verse 13, Proverbs 25, 13. It says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Now, notice this proverb does not say, as snow in the time of harvest. It says, as the cold of snow. Now, how many of you have been working outside this past week? It was fairly warm. Would you like a nice breeze of cold air? Would it not be refreshing? It's kind of what the idea is here. The cold of snow would be very refreshing during the heat of harvest. It would have been nice to have a breeze of 45 degree cold air or something coming through this week when I was out cutting corn for the goats. Hey, I mentioned my goats. Okay, so, I'm out there cutting the stalks of corn to feed the goats. It was hot. It's a cornfield. You can't breathe. A nice breeze of cold air would have been kind of nice. It would have been refreshing. It's sort of like drinking a glass of iced tea on a hot day. It refreshes us. A faithful messenger, according to the scriptures, a faithful messenger refreshes the soul of his masters. And you may go, okay, well, what do you mean then by faithful messenger that refreshes the soul? Well, a faithful messenger is one who is always available and ready to receive the message. The first part of being a faithful messenger is you have to be ready and you have to be available to receive the message. The second part is, are you dependable? A faithful messenger is dependable to go to the one or ones to whom the message is sent and is trustworthy to deliver the message without delay. Yeah, if God has a message to deliver or a message for someone, are you a faithful messenger that he can rely on? He can give you the message. He wants you to deliver it. Are you faithful to go to the ones to whom the message is sent and trustworthy to deliver that message without delay? The third part is, are you a faithful messenger who will deliver the message exactly as it is sent? Are you willing to deliver the message the way that it was received from the master? Are you willing to deliver the message exactly as God wanted you to deliver it? Ask yourself this morning, are you a faithful messenger? Are you always available to your master, Jesus Christ, to get a message from him? Are you in the spiritual condition that God can give you a message to take to someone else? Yeah, are you in the spiritual condition that he can give you a message for someone to whom he wants to send that message. You know, he's got a message that needs to be delivered. Are you, if you will, are you spiritually fit to receive that message and to deliver the message? And then, are you dependable to take the message without delay to the one to whom he sends you? Are you able to go? Will you go and deliver the message? But here is perhaps the hardest part. Are you trustworthy to deliver the message just the way you received it from the Lord? Are you willing to take the message and say, God said to tell you this? You know, that can be difficult. You know, when you're a faithful messenger, you first please the Lord, but you're also able to help the person to whom you have been sent. When you are faithful to deliver the right message, you allow them to hear from God as if God himself were audibly speaking to them. You know, then they can respond to God. They're not responding to you. You're just the messenger. You know, you allow them to respond to God and not to you. As a faithful messenger, you are not responsible for how they respond. Your job is simply to deliver the message. How they respond, that's not up to you. It's not up to you. It's not your responsibility for how they respond. You're only responsible to deliver the message just the way that you received it. You know, I've had several times teaching school where, you know, in a Bible class, we would touch on a subject, and I'll just use alcohol, for example. And, you know, we'd be looking at some scriptures, and I'd have a student go, well, my mama and daddy drink. Are you saying they're wrong? I'm like, these are not my words. These are not snow. This is God. If you have a problem with what's being said, talk to the author. Talk to God about it. Don't talk. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. And if you will be the messenger, if you're a faithful messenger who will deliver the message just the way that you received it, then you're, again, not responsible for how they respond. In this manner, people get saved. People get right with God. People get the reproof, the correction, the instruction, and the encouragement that they need from the Lord. Now, that's the faithful messenger. We get the idea. Well, let's look at what God considers to be a wicked messenger. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, the first part of verse 17. It said, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. Well, what is the mischief, if you will, into which he falls? Well, it could be some harm, some evil, some damage that results from his lack of faithfulness. You know, the wicked messenger doesn't deliver the right message to the right person in the right way or at the right time. And so, because of the messenger's failure, mischief harms. Mischief comes. It harms. It damages. The message can have a negative result. It can cause harm. It can result in evil. It can damage the person because you haven't been a faithful messenger to go and deliver the message. And so God says, you are a wicked messenger. Have you ever received a message after the event has occurred? The U.S. Postal Service right now, wonderful group of people. We got sales notices a week after the 4th of July. 4th of July sale, and we get it on the 12th. It's like, well, that does me a whole stinking lot of good. You know, it came in a little bit late. So have you ever received a message after the event occurred? You know, it's been reported that officers stationed in Hawaii received a telegram from the U.S. War Department that the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor was imminent. The only problem was the telegram arrived moments after the attack on Pearl Harbor. The Battle of New Orleans. You ever heard of the Battle of New Orleans? The Battle of New Orleans made Andy Jackson a household name. The Battle of New Orleans was fought on January the 8th, 1815. Jackson and his army, made up mostly of Tennessee volunteers, if you ever wonder where the University of Tennessee got their nickname, right here. He sent a message back to Tennessee. He said, I need some volunteers to help me with this battle. Help me with this battle in the War of 1812. That's where the University of Tennessee got their nickname, Tennessee Volunteers. With Andy Jackson and his Tennessee Volunteers had a great victory. They whooped the British. They wrote songs about it. Yeah, it was a great victory over the British. Unfortunately, the Treaty of Ghent that ended the War of 1812 had been signed on December the 24th, 1814, over 2 weeks earlier. But the message of the treaty being signed had not yet reached America. The news traveled a little too slow. And so we fought a battle. We won a victory, but it wasn't really necessary. The message was slow in reaching the person, the people that it needed to reach. We are in a spiritual warfare for the souls of men. God is trying to send his message to the lost. He is trying to send his message to his children with whom he desires to communicate. He needs faithful messengers to get the message to them. If you're not going to the Lord to get the message, if you're not delivering the message without delay, if you're not telling those to whom you are sent what the Lord sent you to tell them, then you're not a faithful messenger. You are, as God says, a wicked messenger. And the harm is that the people to whom the Lord wants to send you aren't getting the message. If you are not willing to accept the message, if you're not willing to take the message without delay to the people who need to hear the message, they don't get the message. Or if you change the message, they don't get it. And the harm is not to you. The harm is to the one who God wanted to send a message. And so God says, that's a wicked messenger. That is evil. Now let's look at a few faithful messengers. Paul was a faithful messenger. He wasn't about to water down the message to make it more palatable. He wasn't going to change the message because the people, they may not like that message. The people may not like his message. They may take offense to his message. So Paul's got a choice. Deliver the message as God wanted you to, or change the message. Well, Paul wasn't going to water down the message. But don't we feel the temptation to do exactly that when it comes to the truth? Don't we have a tendency to want to change the message and make it a little bit more palatable, make it a little bit easier to accept? You know, especially if the truth is uncomfortable. Especially if the truth is uncomfortable. You know, when saying what is right is going to end up with you being ridiculed. You know, you may be ridiculed. People may laugh at you. They may make fun of you. They may criticize you. They may get angry at you because they don't like the message that isn't from you. The message is from God. You know, and so we have a tendency to change that message because we want people to like us. You know, when saying what is right can cost you, when saying what is right may cause you to face some pushback, isn't there always the temptation to modify the message just a little bit so it's more acceptable to please people rather than to please God. We get to a point where we're more concerned about how the people are going to accept the message than we are in pleasing the one who gave us the message. And why do we do that? Why do we act like that? Because we want people to like us. We feel we need their approval. We want their likes on our social media platform. Now, fortunately, I have no idea what that means. You know, I have no idea what it means to get a like or dislike. I rarely get anything. I don't really have a social media platform. And I'm okay with that. You know, I don't need that. I don't. In all my years of teaching school, I never asked the student, do you like the message that I have for you? Do you like studying history? It don't matter. You don't get to go to college unless you get my approval. You got to pass my class or you don't graduate. Ha, you know, you got to pass my government class or you're just going to be here forever. You know, that college application that you sent off, tell them it's delayed because you're not going to be there. But a whole lot of times what we have a tendency to do, new teachers are notorious about this. They want to be the best friend of their kids. I'm like, fine, wonderful, be their best friend. You won't be much of a teacher, but you'll be their best friend because nothing that you say will matter. You know, we want people to like us. We want people to approve of us. And so what happens is we change our message and we lack the courage of Paul. You know, John was a faithful messenger. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 7. It said, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. You know, as John's disciples here were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. And he asked them. You know, and a lot of times we read this, and it's, you know, we put Jesus in this low-tone key all the time. But I think this is a more pointed question here. He asked them, he said, what'd you go out in the desert to see? What were you expecting? You came out here, what did you come out here to see? You know, did you go into the desert to see someone who was timid? Did you come out in the desert to hear someone fearful or swayed by pressure? You know, no. John was bold in his preaching. They didn't go out to see someone dressed in fancy clothes. You know, Jesus said, those who wear fine clothes are found in kings' palaces. John did not compromise with power or wealth. So if you came out in the desert expecting somebody to be running around in royal apparel, you were sadly mistaken. That's not John. So what did they come out to see? They came out to see a prophet boldly proclaiming the word of God. You know, John was bold and was a bold and uncompromising messenger for Christ. He serves as an example for us that we also need to be bold and uncompromising in our message for Christ. You know, yesterday I had the opportunity to attend the funeral services for Pastor Stark. You know, place was packed, 500 people or so. And, you know, and I kept hearing, and I kept thinking over and over and over, faithful servant, faithful servant, faithful servant. You know, he didn't water down, you know, he didn't water down God's message. He was a faithful servant. He delivered the message exactly as God wanted him to. He didn't water it down. And you know what? He was respected. They did one thing yesterday I'd never seen anybody do before. The casket, they put a Christian flag on top of the casket. I went, yes, that's great. And they did that at the beginning of the funeral service. And I thought, you know, that's really neat. But then at the end of the funeral service, they played Taps, you know. And I tell you, I'm sitting there going, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. You know, keep the tears, keep the tears, keep the tears. And it was all I could do to hold them back. You know, I'm like, but you know what? That was a faithful servant of God. Yeah, you know, that was a deserved send-off. He was a faithful servant. He was one that preached the message exactly as God sent it. You know, no matter who his audience was, you knew he was faithful to deliver that message exactly as God wanted it delivered. Now, a third messenger, I've talked about Paul, talked about John. A third messenger that I will mention, I won't spend a lot of time here, because I know he's going to watch this broadcast and he's going to tell me I didn't have to say that. But the third message the third messenger that I want to mention is our pastor. Now, I know that some of the message that he delivers are difficult for him to deliver. He knows that some people are going to disagree. Pastor said he doesn't like confrontation. But you know, sometimes the message that comes from God results in confrontation. People sometimes don't like to hear what God has to say. But the message is from God, and Pastor is a faithful messenger. So he delivers the message in a timely way, exactly as he has received it. He knows it's going to sting, but he knows it will help us. He knows that some people will disagree. Some people are going to get mad. Some people will fold their arms, refuse to smile, and stare a hole right through him. But he's still a faithful messenger. Yeah, and I think the thing that really put this lesson in my heart was the fact that he said a few weeks ago, some of us have never smiled when he was preaching. And that hit me. I'm like, don't shoot the messenger. He's a faithful messenger. We need to appreciate that. So he delivers the message. You know, the response is up to us. The response to the message is up to us. Now, let's consider some of the lessons from John's audience. Don't take your cues from the crowd. Look at Matthew 11, verse 16 and 17. It says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. Now, John's audience had certain expectations of John and Jesus. But John and Jesus did not meet their expectations. You know, Jesus says the whole generation was like children calling out the tunes and expecting others to dance to the music. You know, when false teachers infiltrated the Galatian churches, Paul rebuked them strongly. He asked in Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, a faithful messenger for Christ doesn't try to win the approval of men. So don't take your cues from the crowd. If you are a faithful messenger, do not determine how faithful you are by how the crowd responds to the message. You take your cues from the Lord. The second thing, expect criticism from the world. You know, expect criticism from the world. Look at verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. If you're a faithful messenger, you can expect criticism from the world. You know, I've said quite a few times, if the world loves you, you've got a problem. If the world loves your message, you better be very, very careful who you got that message from. Because the world is never going to love a message from God, ever. They're not going to like that. So if the world loves you and the world loves your message, you need to find out who you got the message from, you know, because they're going to criticize you if your message is from God. So the second lesson we can learn from John's crowd is this. When you're a faithful messenger of Christ, you can expect criticism of the world. You know the old saying, you can never satisfy some people. Well, that's the way it is with the world. When you are a faithful messenger of Christ, they're not ever going to be satisfied, no matter how you try to change the message, no matter how lovingly you present the message, no matter how wisely you approach it, no matter how carefully you try to phrase it, you can still expect criticism from the world. When John came fasting, they said, oh, he's got a demon. When Jesus came feasting, they called him names. So the world will find some way to criticize you for your faith in Christ. The world is going to find a way to be critical of you. Can I say revel in that? You know, if the world is criticizing you because of what you're saying, thank the Lord, because you're delivering the message as God wanted. You're a faithful messenger. If the world's not criticizing you, you might have a problem. You know, there may be a serious problem. So if the world is criticizing you, say, thank the Lord. You know. So you need to follow God's way of wisdom and not the wisdom of the world. The wise Christian will be a faithful messenger for Christ despite opposition. Now, you go, okay, that's good. I agree with what you say. I hope you agree. If you don't agree, oh well. Yeah, but you may go, I really can't say that I have often been given a message to deliver. So what do I do? Well, if you're not the messenger, be Onesiphorus. And if I mispronounced his name, I'll apologize to him one of these days. But if you're not the messenger, be Onesiphorus. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. If you can't be the messenger, be Onesiphorus. Well, how can we be like Onesiphorus? Well, first of all, what did he do for Paul? Well, Paul says, he refreshed me. You know, this is the only place in the New Testament that that word is used. He refreshed me. He refreshed him. Well, okay, what does that mean? It sounds like maybe he gave him a breath of fresh air for Paul. Now, if you're in Mamertine prison below ground, that may be exactly what you want. You just want a breath of fresh air. Probably not, though, what Paul is necessarily speaking of at this point. In this case, Paul is probably talking about encouragement. Other believers are sent to refresh us because sharing the message is difficult. So how did Onesiphorus do that? Well, first, he searched and he found Paul. It was an intentional act. Now, can you imagine that job in Rome? You're a Christian going to look for the outspoken Christian troublemaker that's in prison. And so here's Onesiphorus in Rome asking, you know where Paul is? Have you seen Paul? Where have they got him? Just asking, where is he, is enough to get you into trouble. You know, but Onesiphorus went to Rome. Where is he? Have you seen him? Do you know where they have him? Onesiphorus is seeking out Paul because he wants to encourage him. How often do you seek out pastor just to refresh him, to tell him, I appreciate you. I appreciate your faith, being a faithful messenger. Second, the Bible tells us he did this often. Off is the word used in Scripture. This was habitual. It was a habit. This was not just a one-time thing. Well, I told Pastor that I appreciated him back in 2018. Y'all remember the Pastor Appreciation Banquet? I think it was 2018. It could have been sometime before that. I told Pastor in 2018 that I appreciated his messages. Well, you know, when you're hard at work, you want to be refreshed. One drink of cool, refreshing water every 17 years is probably not enough. You know, you probably would like a little bit more refreshment while you're working than once every 17 years. One word of appreciation to pastor every decade is not enough. It's tough, you know. Encourage pastor. Encourage him often. And, okay, I'm a metal. I'm a metal here a little bit. Don't hog the pastor. You know, after church, that's our opportunity to go by and say, hey, pastor, I appreciated that message. I really appreciated the message that you preached this morning. You know, the best time for a deep theological question is probably not right after the message. First off, you put him on the spot. You know, well, pastor, what do you think the wart on the hind leg of the third beast in Revelation really meant? Okay, you know, that's going to take more than just something right off the top of his head. He would probably like to be, but you're going to stand there and look at him. Like, okay, give me the answer. Three parts. You know, I need a three-part outline for the answer of that question. Write it on a piece of paper and give it to him. Says, hey, here's a note. I appreciated the sermon you preached this morning. Here's a question for you that I've been wondering about. Do that. Give other people an opportunity to speak to the pastor. You know, they may just want to give him a word of encouragement. So don't stand in their way. You know, it's difficult to say, hey, pastor, I really appreciate that sermon that you preached 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, that may have been a tough sermon for him to preach. He would have probably liked to have heard that right after the sermon, you know, not 3 weeks later. So give people a chance to say, hey, pastor, I appreciated that sermon. And when you get that opportunity, take it. Tell pastor, I appreciated that. I appreciated that. Yeah, your toes may hurt, but you can still say, I appreciated that sermon. The third thing that we look at, Onesiphorus was not ashamed. You know, standing with and encouraging your faithful messenger can be uncomfortable. This can be anything. You know, I remember back in college at University of Arkansas at Monticello. Okay, I'm the type of person, if I hear you say something, I'm going to bust a gut if I disagree with you, unless I say so. And there was this one, now it may have been the University of Central Arkansas. I left all those credits back in Arkansas. So, but there was this one teacher, and I think he just purposely looked for things that I was going to disagree with him on. And if I sat there and kept my mouth shut, he would go, anybody have any questions? Anybody have any comments? And I keep my mouth shut. I ain't saying it. And he'd say, Mr. Snow, do you have any questions or comments? I said, well, now that you ask me, yes. And you know, I would have people come up after class and go, I agree with what you said. I'm like, well, why don't you say something in class? Why don't you speak up at that point? You know, standing with a faithful messenger, encouraging that faithful messenger, yeah, can be uncomfortable. Don't just sit there and hold it in. I know we're a quiet church. I know I'm guilty of this. But pastor likes to hear people say amen. Now, if I ever say amen, I'm sure it's going to throw pastor off so bad that he's probably just going to say, what did you say? Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like wearing the jacket. You know, I had several people this morning say, I knew you were speaking because you got on a jacket. One of these days, I'm going to wear the jacket just to confuse you. But then I'm worried that it'll confuse Pastor. He'll go, did I ask him to speak this morning? Or, you know, but, you know, stand with, encourage your faithful messenger. But it can be uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable to encourage someone who's a messenger of the gospel or living out the gospel of Christ. It can be uncomfortable to encourage a faithful messenger in your workplace. It can be uncomfortable with that student who's following Jesus in your school to identify with him. Sometimes just encouraging the faithful messenger can make you a little uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable when pastor delivers a message that some people do not want to hear. Yeah, they're notorious about coming to you afterwards and going, well, do you agree with what he said? You know, you remember what he said? Well, do you agree with the message? At that point, are you ashamed to stand with the messenger? Or will you go, you know what? I agree with it. Yeah, I appreciate the fact that he said what he said. Did it hurt? Yeah. Was it difficult to hear? Maybe. But was it from God's word? Absolutely. Every word. Yeah, so sometimes standing with the messenger can be a little uncomfortable. Fourth, Paul says, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. You know, it probably cost Onesiphorus to stand with Paul. For the household of Onesiphorus, it could be that they just had to put up with his absence. Daddy's gone again. He's back in Rome searching for Paul. Take care of things without him. It may be that Onesiphorus paid the ultimate price. You know, may God have mercy on him on that day. It sounds like his faithfulness was costly. Giving refreshment to the faithful messenger may cost us. It can be uncomfortable. It can be costly. But this passage and others say the messenger needs to be encouraged. Jesus needed to be encouraged. God the Father said at the baptism of Jesus, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Do you think that statement encouraged Jesus? Of course it did. At the Mount of Transfiguration, God speaks to the disciples, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. This is my Son, listen to him. More encouragement. Jesus needed encouragement so he could be refreshed as God's ultimate messenger of the good news. And if Jesus needed refreshment, how much more do we need refreshment? Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, encourage one another and build each other up. Give the messenger fresh air to continue to carry the message. How can you be like Onesiphorus and refresh? First off, you step up and do the things that you've been called to do. You know, you step up, you do what you're supposed to be doing so that the messenger doesn't have to be coming to you and encouraging you to do what God wants you to do. You step up and do the things that you've been called to do so that others can lead and study and pray and teach and shepherd. And then you go to them. You say, Pastor, study God's word. Pray it up. Then summon God's Spirit to speak. And then get up there and deliver it. Do your homework, Pastor, and then let her rip. You know, get up there and give us the message from God. You know, the story is told of a pastor who received a text from a church member. It was only 3 or 4 lines long. It said, I love your heart. You're a great shepherd. You keep moving us forward to become all we can for Jesus. Thank God for you. The pastor shared this text with another pastor. The reply was 2 words, frame it. Not because it was a great email, but because the encouragement was so rare. Are you a faithful messenger? If you are, keep delivering those messages just as God sent them, no matter how the people react. Do you know a faithful messenger? If so, encourage him. Refresh him. The messenger needs to know you've got his back. Let's stand. With heads bowed, I would ask you a question. Are you the faithful messenger that you should be for Jesus Christ? Are you spiritually fit to deliver a message that God has for someone else? If you answer yes, praise the Lord. My other question to you is, do you encourage the faithful messenger who stands behind this pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and delivers the message from God? If not, as Miss Joe plays, I will ask you, take a few moments. Ask God to forgive you for failing to be the faithful messenger that you need to be. And then I would suggest that you ask God, Lord, give me the opportunity to encourage my faithful messenger. I would encourage you to say, thank you, Lord, for sending us a faithful messenger, a pastor that we can listen to and know that he is delivering the message just as you intended for him to deliver. Dear Lord, again, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather together and to look into your word. Lord, we do thank you so much for Pastor, for our faithful messenger that you have sent us, Lord. And we just ask that you would just continue to be with him, Lord. Continue to give him the message that you have for us. Lord, we ask that you would be with Pastor this morning and the group that is with him in Costa Rica, Lord. We ask that you would provide blessing. We ask that you would provide safety. Lord, we ask that you would bring our faithful messenger back. Lord, we ask that you would be with us this afternoon, give us safety home, and be with us as we return this evening. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.